Okay, we're saying the shear for the yard side of Avram Kloinemis Ben Yecheskel today. And who else?
Bachor Ben Rachel.
Okay, I just wanted to share with you a thought which has to do with Yisipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos tells us that part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Lahodos Lashem, to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chinuch, when he speaks about the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, at the Seder, we have to speak about the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he says we have to give Hallel to Hashem. That's part of the Sipur. And as normally you would think that at the Seder night we relate everything that happened in Mitzrayim, and afterwards, as a separate thing, we thank Hashem. Hodos, we give him praise, Hallel. But these Rishonim are saying different. These Rishonim are saying that the thanks and the praise that we give at the Seder is part of the story. So I want to explain that a little. What does it mean that it's part of the story? So it dawned on me over Pesach that we can understand the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim based on a famous Kuntres HaSfekes. There was a great gadol which is known in the yeshiva world as the Tzoyis HaChayshen. He's learned in all the yeshivas, and he had a brother. His brother was known by his sefer, which was called the Kuntres HaSfekes. And in the Hagdom, in the introduction to the Kuntres HaSfekes, he says the following thought, that if Hashem would take a person and he would give him a whirlwind tour of the entire universe, he would go to all the planets and the galaxies and the cosmos and all the creations that Hashem made in the universe. Normally, according to the scientists, it would take billions of years to get to the end of the universe, and Hashem would take him on this quick tour, and he would see the whole world. So his mouth would be open, I mean, to see the entire world. But if, when he came back to Earth, he wouldn't have another human being that he could relate this to, that he could say it over to, he would be missing from his pleasure. In other words, Hashem will see why Hashem did this. Hashem put into our nature, let's say something exciting happened to us, we have to tell it to somebody else. We can't keep it bottled up inside of us. So that's what the Kuntres HaSfekes says. So I once heard from the Lakewood Mashgiach Rav Matasio Solomon Shlita, you should have a Refu Shleima, and he explained why Hashem gave us this need to share with others. And he said it has to do with the concept of Harbatzas HaTorah. Hashem gave us two capabilities, two qualities, in order that His Torah should be spread. The first quality is curiosity. He explained on Yom Kippur in the Al Chaitz, there's one Al Chait, it's called Al Chait Shechatan Lefanecha B'Sikur Ayin. I did a sin, and Sikur Ayin means curiosity. So what does it mean? It means Hashem has a Torah. He wants the Torah spread throughout the world. How does he do it? He does it in two ways, with these two midos. One is he makes you curious. You learned this Mishlei, you're curious, what about Eiv? You learned Bereishis, what about Shmois? A man, he learned Masechta Bava Basra, they're doing now the Daf Yomi. He wants to know Sanhedrin, the next Masechta, and so on and so forth. In other words, by being curious, you're going to want to learn more and more. Once you have that knowledge, now your next thing is that you want to share it with somebody else. Because you have a person, oh wow, this is such a fantastic thing. Like I'm giving the shear here now. So I think my idea is so fantastic, I have to share it with somebody else. I have to give it over to somebody else. So that's why Hashem did it. A, to make us curious. And once through the curiosity, we learned this tremendous Torah. Now Hashem put it in, share it with somebody else. And this is how the Torah gets spread. But what does a person do? Explained Rav Solomon. He uses his the Yetzer Hara uses these two components of a person for evil. A, curiosity. He's curious what's going on with his neighbor down the street, across the road. Something's going on there, right? And then he finds out a scoop, what some great piece of Lashon Hara about this person. They did this and this and this and this. And now that he has this pleasurable Lashon Hara, then he has another thing. He has to share it. So he was supposed to use it to spread Torah. Learn Torah and spread Torah. Instead, he learns Lashon Hara and then can't keep it just for yourself. You got to share the goodies with other people. So then he shares with other people. That's it. Al-Chayt Shechatan L'Fanecha B'Sikur Ayin. We use curiosity, which was made for spreading Torah, and we used it for Lashon Hara, to spread Lashon Hara. Okay? So now we understand the rest of the year is a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. But this, I think, is the pshat. What is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Sipur is a story. And this is a story that didn't, we say it in the Agoda. Loyas Aviseinu Bilvad. It's not just our great-grandparents that were in Mitzrayim, but we and our children and grandchildren, we were all, on this night, you have to consider that you were in Mitzrayim. And that you experienced all the ten makas, and that you went through Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you went through the Yam Suf. Awesome. All these unbelievable, and by the way, the Ramban says that the greatest miracle of all, I think I mentioned the last year, was Paro chasing the Jews into the Yam. You didn't get the message yet from the ten makas, from Makas Bechairis. The whole world was in awe of Hashem. But Hashem put it into Pari's mind, and he became the laughing stock of the world. The whole world laughed, as we explained in the last year. Pari, we're not going to review it, but we said that Pari was a leitz. He made fun of Hashem. Hashem made fun of him. The biggest, the Ramban says, the biggest ness of everything, of the Eser Makis and everything, that Hashem should put into Pari's head to chase the Jews. Don't you know that you're not going to defeat the Jews, but that you're going to get your whole army is going to be killed at the Yom Suf? So you don't get the message? I mean, are you crazy? Are you stupid? The whole world laughed at him. How could you do such a crazy thing? Everybody knew there's Hashem in the world. So tonight, on the night of Pesach, it's not just a mitzvah to mention it, as there is a whole year round. Zecher, a remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim, every day in Shema Yisrael, at the end of Shema, we say, Hashem, Asher Tzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, I took you out of Mitzrayim. We mention it. The night of the Pesach, it happened to me. If it happened to me, when I have a story that happened to me, so Hashem put it in me that I have to share it. If I don't have, if Chas V'Shalom, somebody's living alone, and he has no children, he has no grandchildren, he has no wife, he has nobody, then there's a mitzvah still to say it, and he's speaking to himself. But normally, when you say a story, you say it to somebody else. You share it with somebody else. So that's the mitzvah, I think, of according to the Kuntres HaSveikas, that when you have something good, you want to share it. So if this unbelievable thing happened to me, because it's not just an ancient history story, but it happened to me tonight, many thousands of years ago, so I have to share it. Sipper, I say it to my children, to my grandchildren, to my wife, to friends, to strangers, whoever's around the Seder table, I have to share it with these people. That's the mitzvah of Sipper Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if that's the mitzvah, then we can go one step further. If I really feel that this happened to me, this unbelievable experience, so then the next step is, who do I thank for it? I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Rambam says that that thanking Hashem on the night of the Seder, that's part and parcel of speaking about it. Because if you really think that you were there, You know, like you said, I got to tell you the story. And when you say the story, you know, you describe, let's say a person, Hashem, was in an accident and they were saved from the accident. They're going to describe how the color of the car and the guy who was driving it, what he was wearing. You go through every little single detail. You're trying to give over the nest that you were saved from this accident. So the same thing, that's what you're giving over. You're giving over every detail. And then part of that is, if it really happened to me, then I, of course, the next step, part and parcel, that's a sign that this is real. The sign it's real that you feel it happened to you is if you realize if it happened to me, then of course I have to thank Hashem. That's why the Rambam and the Chinuch say that lahoidos ulahalel, to thank and to give praise to Hashem, and that the saying of the hallel which we say at the night of the Seder, during the Seder, that's all, it's not after the Sipper, that's part of the Sipper. Because that shows that it really happened to you. If you can't thank Hashem, it means that you feel it didn't happen to you. If you feel it happened to you, automatically, the next step, you got to thank Hashem for this. Now, then we can go one step further. We brought up, I think in the last year, I spoke about the Litzonis of Pari. So we brought up that it's a very interesting thing. The Rambam, this same Rambam, and the same chinuch, these Rishonim that we spoke about till now, they missed something, and we don't know why they missed it. The pasuk says in the Parshas Boy, at the beginning of Parshas Boy, Boy al Parai, and Leman tesaper beozne bincha uven bincha eis asher is alalti leparai lemitzrayim. You should tell over to your children and your grandchildren. Rashi says the word is alalti means sichakti. I made fun of Paroi. So we explained last time, Paroi showed litzonis of Hashem, and therefore Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem made fun of him. So the question is, why doesn't the, this is a pasuk in the Torah. So it says, Laman Tisaper, that's Sipri and Tzitzis Mitzrayim. You should tell over this story. So why didn't the Rambam say a word, and the Chinuch, they didn't say a word about making fun of Paro? That has to be, it says in the, it's a pasuk in the Chumash. So the Rambam, why didn't he go with this pasuk in the Chumash? What does he do with it? He doesn't mention anything about making fun about Paro. The Chinuch, nothing. You have to speak about the Nisim, you have to give praise, Hallel, Haidah, but he doesn't say a word about this. So there are two possible answers to this question. The first answer is that perhaps the Rambam learns the pasuk like the Ramban and the Targum Onkelos. They say hisalalti does not mean sichakti, I made fun, but hisalalti means asisi, I did. There's a question what the word here actually means. Asisi, mean I did, so I say over the Makis. I say over Yetzias Mitzrayim, I say over Kriyas Yamsuf. I say the facts, what happened. According to them, apparently, there is no mitzvah that you have to make fun of Paroi at the night of the Seder. That would be one simple answer. However, perhaps there's another answer. The other answer is that maybe the Rambam does include it. I spoke to Rav Shechter Shlita, and he said that when you mention each makkah, that itself has in it that Hashem made fun of Paroi. In other words, the Rambam didn't have to spell it out. If the makkahs are itself, that's making fun of Paroi. When you speak about the makkahs, that's making. And maybe the idea is as follows, further, that Rav Huttner, we spoke this out in the last year, but I'm adding on to it. Rav Huttner told us, what is the definition of making fun? Litzonis. He said, the definition is, and we say one joke can destroy 100 proofs. And we said last time, one joke can destroy 1,000,000 proofs. The definition of litzonis is that it's the opposite. He said that two words in Hebrew are almost the same. Hillel, praise, hallel, hillel, something is very, very important. It says in the Pasuk, in Mishlei, Ish Lefi Mahaloloi. The Rabbeinu Yonah explains, if you want to know a person, I could. You're looking for shidduch information about a family. You could figure out in a minute, what this person is. What is he mevatel himself to? What is he machnia himself to? What does he consider very important? Then he says, I have to follow this important person. Does he speak about movie stars? Does he speak about sports stars? Lahavdil, does he speak about Gedolim, Rabbonim, Rosh Yeshiva? What's important to him? That he lowers himself in respect of this great person. Who does he consider great? Once I know who he considers great, and then I know what his values are. You want to know his values? Just speak to him for a few minutes. What does he value? So that's Hillel. So there's good Hillel, positive Hillel, Hashem, Rabbonim, Rashivas. There is bad Hillel. That's Lahavdil, movie stars, Hollywood stars. That's the bad Hillel, politicians. That's the bad Hillel. And then there is Litzonis, making fun. So Rav Huttner explains that there are people in life who make fun of everything. They don't want to be machshiv anyone. Anyone you bring to them, they'll make a joke of, they'll make fun of, because they don't have respect for anybody. So, however, a Oved Hashem, we know every midah is a measurement, which means you have to, like a recipe. You salt you need, sugar you need, you put in too much salt, it spoils the food that you're... You put in too little sugar, spoils the dish that you're trying to make. You have to put it in exactly like the recipe calls for. So, a Oved Hashem, usually, he's supposed to have Hillel. He's supposed to have Hillel for an important person, important cause, an institution, the Beis Medrash Gavoa, Lakewood Yeshiva, Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, 8,000 Talmidim, each one. This is a chashuv thing. But then, sometimes he has to use Litzonis. Normally, you should not use Litzonis. But the Gemara says, you shouldn't use Litzonis, except you know where you should? By Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is the example of bad Hillel, Avodah Zarah. You're saying this table is important. I machnia myself to this table, this piece of wood, and I go to the extent of Oved Avodah Zarah. I serve it. I bring a sacrifice to it. So the most misguided thing in the world is Avodah Zarah, and what am I doing? I'm serving the Avodah Zarah. So what do you do when someone is misguided to such an extent that he thinks it's important, a piece of wood, up to the point that he's willing to sacrifice to the piece of wood? What should you do? Litzonis. That is the correct time to make fun of it. Because now, says Rav Huttner, the tzaddik who uses Litzonis to make fun of Avodah Zarah, is he like that other person who doesn't think anything in the world has value, who makes fun of everything? No. His goal is to make Hashem chashuv by taking Avodah Zarah and making fun of Avodah Zarah. What's my goal? My goal is to get to Hashem. Right? So a regular letz thinks nothing is important, but the tzaddik, the Oved Hashem, he says, I'm using Litzonis to break down Avodah Zarah. But my goal, my ultimate goal, is by breaking down Avodah Zarah, that enables me that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that you, Hashem, are the only one in the world that I give up myself for you, but not for anything else. So now, if this is all true, we could say that when the Rambam says, and the Chinuch says, that the mitzvah is what? Is Lahodos, the Rambam, Chinuch, Lahalel, to give Halel, in that is included making fun of the Avodah Zarah. We ask the question, why didn't the Rambam and the Chinuch mention at all that you should make fun of Paroi, right? It's a pasuk in the Torah, Laman to Saper, Bozne Bincha, Ben Bincha, Esa Sheris Alalti, Lefarim Mitzrayim, tell your children Sipper, that what? I made fun. The Rambam doesn't say a word about making fun. So I gave this drasha in Lakewood in a shul. So a guy came up to me, and it's very good, I think, what he said. He said, maybe when the Rambam says you should give lahodos, that's part of the mitzvah of Sipper, and lahalel, like the Chinuch says, it's part of the mitzvah of Sipper, in that includes the litzonus of Parah. The Rambam doesn't mention it, but that's included because what's, like Rav Huttner says, what's the ultimate goal of making fun of Avodah Zarah or making fun of Pari? It's not the act of making fun. It's not like there are people in the world who don't respect anything. No, the goal of the making fun of Pari or the Avodah Zarah is to be an Oved Hashem. Is lahalel es Hashem. So when the Rambam says lahodos and the Chinuch said lahalel, that is part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, included in that is making fun of Pari, because that's the goal of making fun of Pari, to give chashivas to Hashem. There's no Avodah Zarah, there's no Pari, there's only Hashem. So if I have to give thanks and praise to Hashem, included in that is making fun of Pari. So just like we said, like Rav Schachter said, that the Makkos, when you speak about the Makkos, that's an automatic making fun of Pari, right? So too, when you say Hallel on Seder night, that's an automatic includes making fun of Pari, because that's the whole goal of making fun of Pari. The goal is praising Hashem. It's not a goal to make fun of Pari in and of itself. The goal is to get Lahoydos Lashem. So the more I make fun of Pari, the greater I see the greatness of Hashem, that Pari, the power of a politician or whatever, a king, that is nothing compared to Hashem. So by making fun of the Avodah Zarah or making fun of Pari, my goal is, Rav Huttner makes this distinction. There's some people, their whole life is litzonis. They make fun of everything. So they don't value anything except themselves, maybe. But they don't value anything in the world. But a tzaddik, an oved Hashem, he values Hashem. His purpose in making fun of Pari or making fun of Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says all litzonis is usher except for litzonis of Avodah Zarah. So his goal of making fun is not that my life is to belittle everything around me. No, my life is to be mahalal Hashem. And the more I belittle the Avodah Zarah Pari, the more I know that Hashem Echad, and I give halal to Hashem. So the question was, the Rambam doesn't mention about making fun of Pari. The answer is that by giving halal to Hashem, that already includes that I got rid of Pari, that I made fun of Pari. Perhaps that would be an answer. Just like Rav Schachter said, that when you speak about, the Rambam says a person's mechuyev to say over the nisim v'neflois that happened to us by Metzias Mitzrayim, in every nes that you say over, that itself is making fun of Pari. Okay, that's one thing I wanted to share. I share with you another interesting thing, and this is I gave a drasha by my grandson, made a chasna, and I had to speak at the Shavuot Bracha. So he made chasna with someone from Telz called Osbund. You may have heard of Rabbi Osbund from Riverdale. So his niece, my son-in-law, my grandson married his niece from Cleveland. They had chasna in Lakewood.
When was this?
This was a week ago from last Thursday, right after Pesach. Thank you. So here's what I said. It was a very interesting thing. So I'm in the middle of transitioning to Lakewood. I live now in two cities, a tale of two cities, Muncie and Lakewood. Yeah. So we have a house there, but you know, I'm commuting from Muncie.
What'd you say? His wife.
Yeah. My wife is from Muncie, and the commute from Muncie is much easier than than Lakewood. So right now we're
whatever
a tale of two cities. Anyway, but so I one very nice thing that I joined in Lakewood. Was that Reb Chaim Shulevich, the Rosh Yeshiva? I've many times given a talk here from Reb Chaim Shulevich. So Reb Chaim Shulevich was the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir Yeshiva. I had this chus that I, 1969, I went to Mir. I was there for one zman. The Mashgiach, I came back 35 years later, and the Mashgiach is Rav Chodosh, Rav Aaron Chodosh. And he came. He said, "I gave him Shalom Aleichem." So he said to me, "Oh yeah, you were." I said I was here 35 years ago. So he said, "Oh yeah, you came from Baltimore Yeshiva." I was there for like 5 weeks. Elul.
It was the same as Kansas.
Yeah. So he said, "Oh yeah, I remember. 35 years ago, you came from Baltimore." He has thousands of people that go. He remembered anyway. So when I was there that month, I heard Reb Chaim, and I had, you know, other Rashivas, they were similar in America as they had there, you know, but Reb Chaim was like, I couldn't compare him to anybody. He was a unique, and, you know, I really felt very bonded with him. That's a good word. So in this particular shmooze, Reb Chaim Shmulevich brings three cases in Chumash, in Tanakh, where people ask permission to do something, and you would think, it's crazy, why do they ask permission? The first one he brings is Hananiah Mishael Azariah. They were thrown by the king into a burning furnace. He thought they're going to get killed, and meanwhile, they got saved in the furnace. So it says, Chazal say that Ein anu yoytze mikivshin ha'esh ela b'rshus ha'melech. We're not leaving the furnace till the king says we can go up. Shelo yoymar borchu lehem ha'kivshin. The king shouldn't say that we ran away from the furnace of fire. Ani pi melech eshmer. I'm going to keep what the king said. B'rshusay hushlachnu. We were sent in here with his permission. B'rshusay neitzay. We're going to only go out if he gives permission. The king saw that the fire was not doing anything and gave them permission to leave. Okay. Then we find by Noach. Noach was in the Teva for 12 months, and it says the lion hit him and made him bleed because he didn't bring the food quick enough. He was up 24 hours a day because every animal and bird had different schedules of eating. So at the end of the year, we can imagine how tired he was, and I mean, when is this going to end? This is torture, what he had to do there in the Teva. So when they came to dry land, we would have thought that Noach would have run out of the Teva. No. What did Noach say? Kishen shaloi nechnasti ela b'rshus, kach eina niyotze ela b'rshus. Just like I went only in with permission, Hashem said, go into the Teva. The same thing, I'm waiting here till Hashem, as much as I'd like to go, I'm waiting until Hashem tells me to leave. The third is by Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayhi b'shalach paroi esa'am. Paroi sent out the Jewish people. Says the Medrash, she'amar Moshe l'paroi, ein anu yoytzim ad she'atam shaleach esanu. We are not leaving here until you leave us out, let us out with permission. Now, there's a sefer called the Mishnah L'Melech, in a sefer Prashas Drachim that he wrote. He says, why did they have to ask permission? The answer is because all the gold and silver that they took out of Mitzrayim, right? How did they know where it was? The Goyim hid it, but in the Choshech, when it was light for them, and Choshech for the Goyim, the Mitzrayim, they went around, they saw where everything was, And then they came and said, give us this. And they said, oh, we don't have it. Yes, you do. It's over there and over there. They had to give it to them. Okay. So that rechush has a din of hanukkah. What does hanukkah mean? Hanukkah means that if you have an eved knani, a goyish eved, and then he leaves you, you free him. When you free him, you have to give him, like we have, if we work in an institution, we once had a shiur about this, and we said that in Eretz Yisrael, that's the law, that you have to give men, women, anybody who works, but when you leave, you have to get what's it called? What's it called in English?
You get
severance pay. You get severance pay. You get a month for a year for a month. You get a month's salary for a year's work. So you work 20 years, you get 20 months of salary. That's usually the formula. Okay, so by an Eved, when he leaves, he gets a package. You have to give him, like a present when he leaves for his work that he did. He was faithful, your Eved. Oh. What happens if the Eved ran away and he was gone, and 5 years later he comes back? Hey, by the way, remember I used to work for you for 20 years? How about giving me a naka? No deal. It was only you stayed till the end. I let you go. I have to give you. But you ran away. Then I don't give you. So very good. We worked for Mitzrayim. So we wanted to get Hanukkah. And that was all the spoils of Mitzrayim. But if we're going to run away without permission, we won't be entitled to it. So learns the Mishnah Lebal. This group that I began to speak to you about, there was a group in Lakewood that they listened to Rav Chaim Shmulevitch on a tape. You hear his voice, and then they go through the Sefer and they find where Rav Chaim Shmulevitch says it in this Sefer. That's very interesting. And people are there and they say over stories concerning what Rav Chaim Shmulevitch said. It's a very interesting thing. So in the Sefer, they make it not so... if you hear it on the tape, Rav Chaim Shmulevitch spoke very sharply right here. They left it out of the Sefer. They toned it down. What did he say? He said, I don't blame the precious drachma. He made a mistake here. But it wasn't his mistake. It was his Rebbe's mistake. His teacher's mistake. He taught him the wrong approach. What does it mean? If you have this question, why did they go out of Mitzrayim with Rishus? So what do you answer? You take a halacha about an Eved, and you try to explain that's what the pasuk means. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitch, that's not the way I was taught. I was taught, and in fact, there's a certain great rabbi, he once said that halacha, dinim in the Torah, and agada, stories in the Torah, drush, chumish things are, you know, when it's not pure halacha, great rabbi said, they have one common denominator. You know what that common denominator is? The common denominator is thought. And with thought, you can go from halacha to agada, and from agada, you can go back to halacha. Rav Chaim Shmulevitch says, I disagree. Halacha is halacha, and agada is agada. He says, don't tell me the pshat here in getting permission from Paroi was because they wanted to get Hanukkah, the severance pay. No. I'll tell you the pshat. You know what the pshat is? The pshat is whenever you do something, you need permission. Derech Eretz. You could be in the teva, and first of all, the precious drach of this Hanukkah doesn't explain Noyach. It doesn't explain Hananya, Mishael, Azariah. But Rav Chaim Shmulevitch explains everything. You're in the teva for a year. You're suffering. But who told you to go into the teva? Hashem. You wait till Hashem says you can leave. Hananya, Mishael, Azariah. You were thrown into the Kivshon Eish, right? By the king. You were thrown in. You wait till he tells you to go. Klal Yisrael. You were in Mitzrayim. You were in Mitzrayim. You have to get. You want to leave? You can't leave without permission. And with this, I explain something that I don't think he has here. When it says in the Gemara, when the rabbis, we know there's a thing called Bein Hazmanim. vacation. The whole Nissan people are busy with Pesach. They don't go to yeshiva. The Gemara says when the Talmidim, the Chavrusas, they used to learn together, when they went home, each one would ask permission from the other. Let's say somebody was from Argentina, another guy was from Montreal, Canada, and now it came time to go home. The guy from Argentina would ask Montreal, can I go, can I leave? And Montreal would ask Argentina, can I go back to Montreal, can I leave? They would ask permission. So what's going on here? What do they have to ask permission? The answer is, yeah, anything you do, you have to ask permission. So I said about the Chassan, my grandson, a story. And this had to do with his Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Sorotskin, who's a Rebbe, he's from Telz, and he's a Rebbe in Lakewood. So Rabbi Yitzchak, I wrote a sefer, and a Talmud that I had paid that I should give it out in Lakewood, in the different shuls, yeshivas. Okay, so I wasn't going to go up and down, run up and down the steps. I got my grandson, he does chesed, and he did me a favor. He went up and he's called a gopher, you know, a gopher, go for this, go for that. So he went and he gave out the sefer. So as we're going through Lakewood, I suddenly see on the porch of that house over there, I see Rabbi Yitzchak Sorotskin. And I say to him, in Yiddish, I'll just translate it in English, Merhobin Rishus to Geben the Rosh Hashiva Sefer. Do we have permission to give the Rosh Hashiva Sefer? So he says to me, you have to have permission to give a sefer. So I said back to him, I learned with him together in Telz. I said, in Telz, hat mir uns ausgelernt, as for alt darf man haben Rishus.
Even to give someone?
In Telz, they taught us that for everything you have to ask permission. Like we saw over here. In the Tevi, you have to ask permission. In the Kifshaneh, you have to ask permission. Everything you have to ask permission. So after when I said this, I told my grandson that this is a big segula in Shalom Bayis. That anything you want to do in the house, you got to ask your wife permission. You ask her, and I said, ask your wife.
So true.
Ask your wife permission.
But if you give a present, you don't have to ask permission.
And then tell us they taught us everything is for a show.
You ask it to a child.
Okay, so I said, you have to, and don't think probably like this, probably like this. You have to ask permission. And that included asking permission is that when you're given permission that you have to do what you were told to do. That's part of it.
It goes the other way too.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. You'll see in a second. You'll see in a second. Does it go the other way too? So I said, you ask me a question. There's a Gemara that says that Rabbi Gamliel was made Rav Elazar ben, they kicked out Rav Gamliel because of a whole incident. He was the Nasi, the head of Klal Yisrael. They kicked him out, and they wanted to give the job to Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Elazar ben Azariah said, "I have to consult with my wife." He consulted with his wife. His wife told him, "Don't take the job. Why? Because maybe they'll kick you out, just like they kicked him out. So tomorrow they'll kick you out. What are you taking this job for?" So he said, I hear what you're saying. I disagree. It says expensive cup, if you could drink from it, even for one day, even if it gets broken tomorrow, but you drank from it from one day. And I was like, whatever, I'll have the position. It's Kedai, I'm going to have the position of Nasi. So here you see, he asked his wife and he didn't listen. So I said, no. There's a difference between Gashmi and Ruchni. If it's something in the house, some physical thing, there your wife's the boss. If it's a spiritual thing, there the husband's the boss. It doesn't say in the Gemara he asked his wife permission. It was a spiritual thing to be a Nasi of the B'nai Yisrael. He said, I'm going to consult with my wife. Let me hear what she has to say. Eilech ve'imlechi devisi. Let me go consult with my wife. Okay, she said it. I hear what you have to say. I take it into consideration, but I disagree. I don't want to give it. This is a spiritual thing. I can gain spiritual from it. I think it's worth to do it, even though I might get kicked out. So he did. But if it's a gashmi thing, then you have to listen to your wife. So I said, even though they say by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, they made up a deal. Anything spiritual, he would be listened to. Anything gashmi, she would be listening. The problem is with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, everything was spiritual. There was no physical. He tied everything into the spiritual. So it came out that she had to always listen to him because he was such a tzaddik and such a godel. Everything in his house was spiritual. So I said to my grandson, very chashuv v'bacher, but you're not yet Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, so probably there's going to be some things that are not spiritual by you. If it's spiritual, you consult with your wife, and then she has to listen to you, whatever you decide. But by you, probably there's still going to be some things gashmi. So there, this is an etzah for shal bayis, admeyev esrim shana. You should ask her a permission, whatever you want to do, and whatever she says, you should follow, and that will be a skula for admeyev esrim shana for shal bayis.